This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network's studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida. Of course, we're all sad that there was a hurricane and it went to Louisiana, but we have to say we were happy that it didn't come here. And this is the first year that I have not worried. For someone who has over 3,000 books in their house, it is really scary that every year I have been frightened that my windows would be blown out. But this year, thanks to Morgan Exteriors, and I want to thank them so much, they did a terrific job. They put in new windows. They are so perfect, I can't even hear anything going on outside. So I really want to thank Morgan Exteriors. They're in the Tampa Bay area. All you have to do is look them up on the net and you can find a number for one of their places near you. But it really has saved me. And I want to also compliment the three guys who came and put in the windows. Now, they were three big guys, but they were like, they moved around like ballet. They reminded me of a ballet because they moved. One moved here, one moved there, one moved there. They were so in sync with each other. It was so seamless. It was so perfect. It was actually very, very beautiful. So thank you, Morgan Exteriors. Now, today I have a great day. I have two authors that I absolutely love. I'm at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to be talking to Carol Bumpus about her book, Searching for Family and Traditions at the French Table. And in this is her second book. And she concentrates on areas that I know very well. One of them is the Loire Valley, where I spent many a drunken day in the Loire Valley. So I'm looking forward to talking to her. But right now, I am going to be talking to Laura Jameson. This is an interesting book. So I'm so happy to welcome you to the program today, Laura.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor.
Well,
thank
I
you.
Should say Laura Z. Jameson. I like anybody who has a Z in their name.
I know, we're both Z people. Though it's a tough week to be a Laura with the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I don't know.
I'm joining the Katrinas of the world and the Harveys and the Andrews.
Yeah, well, our heart goes out to them. And of course, everybody, contact the Red Cross and start donating because
absolutely.
It's so tragic. And I actually, I said Jameson, but I actually think of you now as Jam is On.
Because I love it.
I had to because I kept typing your name with an E, and I could never find anything. I'm looking in my files. I'm saying I know I have this.
And then Jameson is the whiskey with the E.
That's right.
So which it's Jameson, not the whiskey.
I'm not saying that I'm really familiar with. But I've had a few. But so in my mind now, forever and ever, you will be Jame is On because it's spelled with an I, okay?
I love that. I've never thought of that before. So now that's in my head too.
That's going to be in your head. And this book, is it really your first book?
It is. My mid-40s and I'm a working mom. I have four kids. Actually, it was funny when I saw you from Clearwater. I took them down when my little girls were babies and my boys were maybe a little older. We went down to Clearwater and had such a great vacation there. It's such a beautiful part of the country.
Oh, it is.
But yeah, I'm a working mom and I wrote my book, my first book when I turned 40. And I thought we need more books.
Oh, yeah, and we need more lawyers writing books. I mean, like, all you lawyers out there, you don't make enough money as lawyers, so you just have to cut into everybody else's and write.
To be fair, I'm not sure if I'm going to make a lot of money as a writer.
I have a feeling you're on the road to success because This is
you.
No, really, you are a one good writer, and so I was thinking, yeah, another lawyer. Okay, we're not going to be jealous about lawyer fees. Or we're not going to do any lawyer jokes also.
That's okay. I mean, lawyers are a really miserable group of people in general, so I couldn't agree with that more. I work for a company, so I'm a little bit of a different kind of a lawyer, but...
You're a working mom with four kids, and you're writing, and that's fantastic. Wow, where do we start with this book? It's a little bit scary. It's called All the Right Mistakes. And let's say it's about five women, one of whom sort of want to kill her sometimes. But you can go ahead and tell the premise of this book. It was a clever idea. And then it's sort of like you want to grit your teeth sometimes when you think about somebody doing this. One of your own friends writing a book about you. So go ahead and tell about
this
story.
So the idea is it was, you know, five women who were friends in college, and they kind of grow up and they go out in the world and they have different lives and different marriages and different jobs and different life experiences, but they always sort of get together every year and connect and have a girls' trip. And one of them just becomes wildly successful, so like a tech executive and kind of on top of the world. And she takes it upon herself to write a self-help book for other women saying, look how great I am. I've got it all figured out. But let me tell you about my other four friends, and they really have messed up. And here's all the ways in which, you know, their lives should have been better. They should have made different decisions. And that just absolutely explodes the friend group. And,
It's just wonderful if somebody you think is a really, really, really good friend just tells everybody that your life sucks.
Well, and I think, you know, what I really wanted to write about is, you know, my life has been twists and turns, and I feel like all of my friends, it's been kind of like the long and winding road and compromises, and yet I think as women, we just love to sit in judgment of other women. It's sort of incredible. And maybe men do that too, but women are sort of uniquely compelled to do that. And I wanted, you know, not turning 40, I kind of thought, gosh, you know, you go into Barnes & Noble and there's this whole section of women's advice books and women's career books and how to like hold your body and how to talk and how to do this and how to do that. And wouldn't it be great if we all just kind of got together and decided to support one another, and instead of focusing on like changing ourselves and changing our behaviors, kind of banded together and talked about ways to make the systems that have been around for a long time work a little bit better for us. And, you know, obviously I come from like a law perspective, which was a male dominated industry for a long time, but there's other, I think, you know, broadcasting, publishing, medicine, there's a lot of systems that were built and created before women really participated. And it would be nice to see some of those systems become even more inclusive, not just of women, but of everyone, right, across the board. And that's what I wanted to write about. But I wanted to do it in a fun beach read kind of way that was a fun read. And not so much a policy book, more of a fun read.
Yeah, it is a fun read. And it would come out in the summer as a beach read, and everybody's headed to the beach, but most people aren't. So you can also read it in the house. Or
quarantine read, right?
Yes. And let's say, it's a kind of book that you're reading, and I mean you really get into it. You really get into the stories of the women, and we'll talk individually about them. But you do keep coming back to Heather, who has written the book, and then you keep thinking among your friends, who would be the Heather?
And who could be the Heather? Yeah.
Who's the Heather? I think we're going to start when we get up with our friends. We're going to say. And we're going to look around the table when we can eventually sit around a table again. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I miss, just getting together and sitting and talking. You know. But now we're going to be looking at, are you the Heather in my life? I've got to be
so
careful.
Funny. So I met with a book club last night and we were talking about Heather. And I said, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes all of us are the Heather, you know, when you have that moment of judgment or comparison. And there was, you know, one person in the book club and she kind of raised her hand and she's like, I might be the Heather of the group. I don't know. And, you know, everyone laughed. And I mean, the truth is, like, Heather's a bit larger than life in the book. I mean, she's almost borderline unbelievable. But the Heather impulse is, I'm gonna give you my unsolicited advice. I'm gonna, you know, tell you you should be living your life this other way. And I think we all give into that from time to time.
Yeah, well, you know, Laura might now be associated with a Category 5 hurricane, but I have a feeling the Heather might take on a life of its own and become, somebody's going to write, you know, a doctorate based on the Heather effect. And next thing we know, it's going to be, and somebody's going to use it as a verb, and they're going to say, I've been Heathered. And
that's so funny.
No, it's possible. You know, it's really possible. Something like that. Because as I'm reading that, I'm thinking that, you know, who would Heather me?
Yes.
So
who would Heather me?
You perhaps have created, and this is something wonderful for a writer. You have created a word, and it will be in the dictionary. And someday they'll look back on it, and they will say, you know, do you love looking up where a word comes from, where it started? I love to do that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I loved that book. Do you remember that book that came out about the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary?
Oh, yes.
Maybe 10 years ago. It was so interesting. I can't remember the title.
Well, I have.
It was such a great book.
I have the Oxford, the whole big book. I mean, like, yeah. I love it. And I love, and think of that. I predict, and this is going to happen, because you're going to be in it. You're going to be.
I love it.
It's going to start with you. Now, of course, I hate to say this, but every girl named Heather in the world is going to hate you for this for the rest.
Well, you know, the Heather was a bit of an homage to the classic movie Heathers from the 80s. I don't know if you remember that movie, but it was a girl clique, and they were all named. They were, Christian Slater was in it. They were all named Heather, and the main one was, very much like, it was kind of like a Mean Girls, an earlier version of Mean Girls. Wow. And it was that girl clique where the main Heather was just very domineering and very bossy. And I just love that movie. It's one of those.
Well,
I feel right
honored
time.
That I am speaking to somebody who's going to be in Oxford. maybe they'll put me too, because I'm the one I used it first as a verb.
I love it.
So maybe, you know, you'll get some credit. Maybe I will get half the credit. So let's talk a little bit about the other characters, because they deserve some. I mean, you came out with these characters and they deserve to come to life right here on Joy on Paper. So tell us about the other four characters.
So the other four characters are just composites of women that I've met over my life. Everyone's asked me, are these your actual friend group in college? And I will tell you, in college, I pretty much spent all my time with nose in a book. I definitely had a few friends here and there, but I did not have this, like, great group of girlfriends that was tight-knit. It was a friend from here, a friend from there. I just, you know, I spent a lot of time studying and reading, and I was a pretty introverted college student. But I've worked at a couple different companies. I've worked in a big law firm, and I've sort of collected all these experiences, and I've heard about, you know, the woman who had to move because her husband got a job and it was really hard for her to keep her job, or someone who has been a stay-at-home mom and is in her 40s and is thinking, like, I would really like to get back into the workplace. Or someone who's been in the workplace 20 years and is thinking, I've really had enough and I'd really like to, like, transition to be, you know, more at home and more involved with my family. So I guess I've heard all of these stories, and I wanted to give everybody a slightly different personality and a different story. And I wanted, you know, the way that I structured the book, I wanted all of those voices to be equal. So none of them are more interesting or more important than the other. They're all equally weighted. And they're all at a turning point at 40. They're all sort of looking at their choices. And I think, I don't know what your experience is, but I feel like in real life, when women do reach 40, your kids, you know, in some cases, your kids are a little older, or you've spent 20 years in a career or 15 years in a career, whatever it is. And maybe you're ready for that next, start thinking about the next thing. And am I where I want to be? And of course, Heather's book just exacerbates and accelerates all of those feelings and brings everything up to the surface.
Well, you certainly do a great job. And as I said, the four are Elizabeth and Sarah, who are lawyers, so that's always nice. Mm-hmm. Martha, who's a doctor, and yes. and Carmen, who's wealthy. I like that. A nice mix. And then I just also got another idea. Perhaps this is a conspiracy book, because perhaps you, with all of your lawyer friends, have conspired to write this book so that a lot of other people will write books and Heather people, and then all of those people can file lawsuits. So perhaps you're just trying to drum up business.
That wouldn't be my kind of law. So hopefully
I know. But
yeah.
It could happen. You have to be careful out there when you write books about your friends.
Yes.
Please think of
Yes, and these are very much not my friends.
These are not your friends.
They are composites.
And they're not going to sue you.
Different people.
They're not going to sue
you. No, and I think, I hope I've written the characters in a way that, it's funny, one of my readers, she said, you know, when I read this book, I felt an empathy swell. And I felt like I really knew these women, and maybe somebody, like Carmen's a great example. Yes, she's wealthy, but she has struggles of her own. And, you know, I didn't shy away from the fact that these women are privileged, right? They have all the best in terms of education and a good start in life. But the reality is they still have struggles, and they still have parts of their life that aren't easy. And I think that are really common to the female experience, regardless of what your background is. But the truth is, if these women have had struggles and problems, and they have so much privilege, that actually says a lot about where we are in society, that even for them, there's certain challenges.
And you do, you capture them. I think we really do care about them, and we really do wonder if at the end of the book anybody's going to kill them. But that's all right. So it sort of adds a little mystery to it. But it is really a fun book to read. As you said, it's that's what we have to do right now. We're in the house or out maybe by the pool if you're lucky, and you can read this book, because I think it's really fun. It's a fun book. I found it fun. I mean, I'm sort of laughing at the possibilities of this of what this means in everybody's life as we're reading, as a woman, as you're reading it, you think, yeah, you start thinking more about women and sort of women's issues, which is what I think your point is, that we all have these issues, and how we take care of them and handle them says something about us. So it is. I think it's absolutely wonderful the way that you've just come out with this book. It's like you're like going to be a major author, and so I really am, you know, happy about that. But I also wanted to talk to you a little bit, because you mentioned about a library that was important to you as a child, and I'm writing a little bit about a library that was important to me as a child, a McGregor Public Library. Oh, you're in Wisconsin. I forgot. You're in Cheesehead Country. I'm a Youper.
I love that. So I went to law school in Michigan, and my husband, he actually spent a summer in Ypsilanti. Is that what it's called?
Ypsilanti.
Yeah. So I haven't been up there myself, but it's on my list.
Well,
I grew up in southern Ohio, right along the Ohio River. So sort of on the outer border of Appalachia. So a beautiful, beautiful river community, but, you know, not a wealthy place to grow up.
And but you live in Wisconsin now.
I do. My husband and I met in law school, and he actually picked Milwaukee, and I came along, and I love it here. It's beautiful, the great schools for the kids.
Well, make a trip up to the Upper Peninsula. I always encourage cheeseheads to go to the Upper Peninsula, because one of the reasons we love cheeseheads who come to the Upper Peninsula, because we make a lot of money from you guys. You're always speeding, because our roads are so beautiful and they're so clean and nice, and you're always speeding, and so our policemen can give you guys lots of tickets.
That's fair. We'll pay them.
Yeah, it's fair. So do visit the Upper Peninsula. But the library that you mentioned is Ripley Library, which is...
Ripley Library in Southern Ohio. And it was just this magical spaceship of a place for me. My father had done a lot of work on the library, and in the very early days brought computers to the library and helped shepherd an extension of the library. So because he spent so much time there working on the library, I was there all the time. I could walk there from my house, and the children's library was fairly small, so it seemed really big as a child, but as an adult I look back on it and I said this is a fairly small library, but I literally could tell you where every section, I can still imagine in my mind every section and what the different books were. I could tell you exactly where the Sweet Valley High books were and exactly where, the nonfiction
section
was.
I know that feeling.
I can just imagine it in my mind. And then I remember when I was maybe 10 or 11, I started sneaking upstairs to the adult section.
Up to the stacks. Oh boy. Once you got snuck up to the
stacks. I wanted to get my hands on the Judith Krantz book.
Oh.
Okay. I know
that feeling because
I want to get up there. Danielle Steele.
Oh, I know. I did the same thing.
Sort of sneak up, and I think my parents knew, and eventually they said, Laura, you can come up to the adult section and start reading the books up here. It's okay. But I was just, it was like, there was no internet, right? There was no, I try to tell my kids this and they're like, that was so weird. And I said, it was like, I can't even describe that feeling of discovery when you open a new book and you start to read, some of these things. I remember like Eric Siegel and like some of those authors from the 80s. I was born in 1975. So those 80s authors, late 80s authors, I would have been, 10 to 15 years old. And that was just a kind of magic for me. And I can still feel the feeling.
I feel, I was a youper, but we moved to Detroit. And so when we moved to Detroit, when I was in third grade, and the first place that I went to, my sister took me to McGregor Public Library. And I mean, it became my second home. I know even today I can close my eyes and I'm exactly like you. I know where every book is. Everything comes back to mind. And it was one of these wonderful libraries that they built in those days just for us. I mean, it was like a gift to the people of the communities, these beautiful, beautiful libraries. And so I wanted to mention it, and I wish kids would have that feeling that I know that you and I share.
Yeah, and I don't know that my children have it. And I've tried to, Whitefish Bay where I live has a beautiful library, but it's brand new, it's modern.
Yeah, no, it's not the same thing.
My library was like bricked and it had that Carnegie.
Oh, I know.
It had that beautiful red brick. It had tiles, like these beautiful subway tiles.
I know.
It's a work of art.
It is. Oh, I think I have to have you back. Would you come back on one day and talk about libraries and the love of reading?
I would love it.
I'm going to have you
it.
Back on
I
because I really think yeah. it's, I think you are fantastic. I have a feeling, I hope I'm going to be, I'm sure there's another book on the way, so I don't, once you get going, you can't stop. And the name of the book is All the Right Mistakes. And it is by Laura Jameson. And if you're looking it up, it's got an I. It's Jameson with an I. Okay.
My website's laurajamesonauthor.com, and you can find all the links to buy and all the articles and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because I type Laura Jameson with an E, and I'm like, what am I? And the jam is on, Laura
The jam is on. I love it.
Okay. But I'm going to contact you, okay? And would you come back on and talk about the love of libraries?
I would love to do that. I could talk about love of libraries all day long.
And some of your favorite books and the books that have formed you, okay?
That sounds terrific.
Okay.
I would love that.
Well, thank you
so much for having me. It's really been an honor.
Well,
thank you.
It's been a thrill for me. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay. Isn't she nice? Oh, she's nice. I'm going to play a poem because we need a moment. Let's take a moment, people. Calm down. Everybody calm down. We have a nice little poem from Jim Lamb, and then we're going to have commercials, and then we're coming back with a wonderful book, and I can talk about being drunk.
Actually, okay, I'm looking for that Jim Lamb.
Okay, we're looking for Jim Lamb. It's one of his poems. I think it's under Lamb-Poems. I try to make it. Who knows? I'm a little bit disorganized. Any of his poems you can find, we'll play one of them, because Jim Lamb is a wonderful, wonderful poet, and he just likes to share a moment. Here it is.
Who's for Dinner by J.S. Lamb. In some cultures, they love their neighbors. In others, they might eat them. If you're not sure which is which, be careful how you treat them.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome back. I'm in the studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, and we are having a beautiful day. I am so happy to welcome Carol Bumpus to the program because she has written a book. Well, did she write this book for me? Perhaps she did, because I love this book. What can I say? It brings back a lot of fond memories, and the name of the book is Searching for Family and Traditions at the French Table, and this is book two, and it concentrates on... Hey, Carol, tell us, what does this book two concentrate on?
Okay, well, thank you for having me on, first of all, and this book is the second part of a French journey that I took, and this is the regions Nord-Pas-de-Calais, Normandy, Brittany, the Loire Valley, and the Auvergne, and so this is... the second half, the completed half of this particular journey. Actually, the journey was so long, I had to split it into two books. So that's book one and two.
Well, I love book one, but I really love book two because I have so many fond memories. My husband and I, let's say this, we decided to... Now, it's very funny. We lived in England, and we had a white Cadillac. So generally, when we went to Europe, we traveled in a white Cadillac, which, of course, was very distinctive. But we wanted to be very French, and I always wanted to travel in one of those little French cars with the roof that opens, and I insisted that we rent that. Now, he thought I was crazy, let's put it this way. When you have it. But I wanted to be in the country roads. I wanted to be in the country, and I just wanted it. I wanted that French feel. I wanted to be, you know, like, I don't know, Brigitte Bardot. I wanted that feeling. So we rented this little car, which he thought was like a toy, with the roof that, oh, And we took that Loire Valley trip along that road, along the Loire. And we stopped at every cave along the way, and we had where they were giving free samples of wine.
Wonderful.
And my husband was the kind that, he was always the kind, if we went anywhere, they gave free samples. He was ready for it. We had free samples all along the way. We were so drunk, and we stopped a couple of times and fell asleep in the forest with the roof open, and woke up and went and continued on our way. So we had many, many wonderful memories of that. Isn't it a wonderful?
Yes. Well, that was one of the delightful places that we traveled through. And stopped. And so I don't know if you remember, there in the book it talks about the wine cave, or actually it was a wine cellar that I went to that was actually upstairs and under a moat. And
yes.
It was, what a surprise, There were all, and the whole Loire Valley is built on, this very special porous tufa type of rock, limestone rock, and so they had caves where you would climb down into them, and in fact, we were supposed to have stayed in a hotel that was part of a cave like that, and unfortunately, we weren't able to, but we ended up staying at this marvelous truffle farm that I just fell in love with, and so, you take what you can get, and it was even better, so that was a delight.
Oh,
that was just one of the many stories in that book. So,
we did a lot of caves, and we also did some wonderful hotels in the Loire area. Just it was so fantastic, and a trip that was absolutely delightful for us. And tell us how this whole book. Two books now started, the idea for the books. And, oh, by the way, I want to say hello. I love your husband's name, Winston. I love that.
Oh. Well, if you spent any time in England, I expect that's the case.
Yeah, I did. But, I did.
But my husband's actually from New England, and his family's been in this country for probably 400 years, so... Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I had an interest. I'm a retired family therapist, and I had decided to go traveling in Europe with my husband, and I decided, I need to have a gimmick. I need to have a reason to return, because I just loved the food and the wines, and we live in the wine country in California, so... We do love wines, and so we wanted to return there, and I had started talking with a number of people, and actually I was traveling with a woman who was a culinary arts, she taught cooking classes in Sunnyvale, and she wanted me to go with her to help set up gourmet food tours, and I thought, I could do that. And so we went to Italy and to France, and that was where I kind of went in the door that way. And then I got caught up in the idea of not only was it, I did not want to learn the haute cuisine, which is the high-end cuisine that you normally find in fine restaurants, but I wanted to know more about the peasant cooking, the traditional, which was what most people would want to know. Or what they used when they were growing up in France. And so I started interviewing people about that, and one of the very first couples, actually it was a mother-daughter team who lived near me in the same town that I lived here in California, and it turned out that the elderly mother was, her name was Marcel. And she was telling me about all of these wonderful foods, and so why don't we go and travel together to France? And so with her daughter, Josiane, and Marcel, I was to do this. And then this is back in 2001, and 9/11 happened, and just a month later, Marcel passed away. Well, her story had been so fascinating to me and so riveting that I spent the next 12 years researching her story, because she was a woman who was born on the last day of World War I and then died right after 9/11. But she had gone through a harrowing time during World War II as a single mother, and I wanted to know more about her story. So I did the research. I traveled back and forth with her daughter to France. And in fact, these two books, Searching for Family and Traditions, book one and two, are the actual trips that I took. But the novel that was written about the mother is called A Cup of Redemption. So they're all linked together. So the truth is, there was, it was like one long tour, that it was so long that I needed to break it up into several books. So this is the fourth book that has come out of this one trip. So is that too long of an answer?
Yeah, well, it's a life's journey here with this. The stories are wonderful. I lived in England for quite a few years. I bought a cottage there, and I lived there. But we traveled at least once a month, usually every other week, to France, and went to different parts of it. Of course, one of the areas, Loire, was one of our happiest.
Memorable.
Also, we went to Normandy, which you write about, because my father was in D-Day. And so it has a great significance for me. And so tell us a little bit about the Normandy part of this.
Well, the Normandy part, so that was, so let me back up a little bit. As I'm traveling with Josiane, she's from France, but she lives here in the States. But she had connected me to World War II veterans. And so I had traveled with the World War II veterans, not to Normandy Beach, but to the southern beaches. And so there was a second landing, and that was on August 15th, 1944. So it was just a few months or a few weeks after Normandy Beach invasion. And so they had people coming in from Italy and the Sicily and from the south, all of the Allies coming into France through the south. And so I traveled with them on two different occasions with maybe 40, 50 people in the entourage, and I was considered the journalist that was writing down all of this information and sending it back to the 3rd Infantry Division back in the States with all these pictures. Well, what was I doing was that there were 10 days that we were with these veterans, these elderly fellows that had been on this liberation tour, like your father would have gone to liberation tours on the Normandy beaches and along there to show where they had actually passed through, the villages they passed through. Well, in the south of France, they do the same thing, and nobody seems to know about it. In fact, many veterans don't know there was a second invasion on that those beaches. Well, we would go through 40 different villages, and everywhere we went, there were up to, you know, thousands of people that would come to say thank you to our allies, thank you to our veterans, and honor them, and give them, talk about wine. We had more wine than we could stand up with, you know. And every place we went, from little 3- and 4-year-olds waving little American flags to some of the very people that they liberated were there to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And one of the things that I learned about the French is one of their mottos is, we will never forget the gift you gave of liberation.
And they don't. It is so touching. And I remember people would sometimes say to me, oh, you know, you're going to Paris and everybody's snooty. And I can tell you, every time we went to France, any part of France, we were always treated so well. And particularly out in the countryside, when we went out to small villages and you know, they were always so warm and welcoming. And as you said, they were always, you know, I tell them the story about how my father, you know, was in France. They were so wonderful all the time. And many times we did get invited, you know, to have a drink, to come in the house. It's beautiful.
It really is. And it was one of those things that I had not expected. But I was traveling with this group of veterans, and John Shirley was the fellow who was kind of in charge of all of this. And he had been head of this particular infantry division at the time of 1944. And, or he continues to take all of these people back year after year after year. And sometimes the celebrations would be with the president of France, or you know, certainly every time, every village we went through, there was the mayor and the vice mayors and all the people. You can't imagine how many people would come out in the streets for these celebrations to thank them. And so it was doing that particular, those trips, was I was going to do research on Marcel's husband, because she eventually married a fellow who was a Maquis, who was in the resistance. And so I needed to interview people that have been Maquis. And that's part of the A Cup of Redemption story. And so it goes back and forth. I'm collecting all these interviews, all these stories, and the beauty and wonder of these people that most people would not have the opportunity to get to know or to be introduced to. And that was because of Josiane, the daughter. And Josiane introduced me to a whole new world of life. And my life has never been the same since. And my husband says the same thing. It was absolutely transformative. And so I was told that, okay, you've got a story, then write it down. So I did. I started writing. Well, unfortunately, that led to 950 pages. Well, somebody said, well, that's not one book. And so I had to make the book A Cup of Redemption. I took, it's kind of like, how do you carve an elephant? You take away everything that's not the elephant. And so to create this novel about this incredible woman, her story was really quite dramatic and honorable. She was a wonderful, just, you know, there was nothing, an ordinary woman that was struggling during the war, but her love of family was so keen and so intense that I wanted to know her story. So I followed her story. So anytime there was a story about her, I kept for that novel. And anything that was not about her then ended up being in these two books, that the book one and book two that you're talking about.
Well, that's what I'm telling people always, that there is such joy on paper that if you have an idea, it does open your life. Whatever, it doesn't matter what subject. In this case, a story that about somebody else, could be a story about somebody in your family, could be a story about something you heard about or something in history that intrigues you. It opens up so many possibilities. You had to start traveling. Isn't that wonderful? You had to start traveling.
You
absolutely have to. And I think it's tax deductible too. Isn't that wonderful?
It is once you start selling books.
Once you start selling books.
So that's
the way to look at it. Really, people don't understand that. You can't deduct these from your taxes when it becomes a business, and it's certainly in your case it's a business, because now you have all these books and all these ideas, and there's so much more that you can do. You know, you have the food, you have the recipes, you have the stories, you have
So a lot of what I was trying to focus on, and sometimes it gets a little bit it's awash with themes. But my focus was on women and war, and how is it that they survived? How did they provide for their families? And sometimes, she was a single mom in Paris during the time that the Germans marched in from Dunkirk. And so how did she survive? How did she protect her child? And And, you know, it's that it was always about, it always went back to the food. And so the thing that I found about all of us is that we love to talk about food, whether we have it or not. You know, during the war time, you talk about what they didn't have, but they would sit around and talk about when we do have, this is what we'll make, this is what we'll prepare. And so in the novel, every time I mentioned some kind of food, then I ended up writing 9 months later, because it was requested by some of my readers, where are the recipes? That I have the recipes in a book called Recipes for Redemption. And it's a companion cookbook to the novel. And so that was the first two books that I did. And then the real story of the the actual journey that I took with my husband and Josiane through the first book is we start in Paris and we go into the Champagne region, into the Alsace and back through the Lorraine regions and then return to Paris. And those are the stories where we're staying in Josiane's family homes and friends and cousins' houses, and they are sharing their favorite recipes. Oh, and also their stories about World War II, because there was always a connection back to World War II. And I realized that through Marcel, when I talked with her, that the reason and the culmination of how these they celebrate life and family is because they lost so much. And during the war, that is, we will never forget what we sacrificed and lost, and we will always hold on to family. Well, and so that's really the major theme for throughout all of the books that I'm writing.
Well, the books are fantastic. I think they're wonderful. You have a very nice website, and it is Carol Bumpus with an E. Carol with an E. Right. Everybody should go there. They could get. There's photos, there's more stories, there's all sorts of good information there, and the book is available, you know, wherever books are sold, if there were actually bookstores open, but definitely on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And this is, all the books combined are just fascinating reading, and these books are, it's like a travelogue here. It's a history story, it's a travelogue, it's everything. And the best thing is it talks about food, and when you're talking about food in France, the village food, the country food, which is the best, or the breads. Oh, I don't even want to start on the breads. Oh, I think we spent a lot of time bread and wine, bread and wine, and some cheese, and that's and we were glorious,
heaven.
Glorious, absolute heaven, absolute wonderful, and driving along that curving road in a little car, it was fun.
Of what you remember,
what I remember, and everybody, you can't actually probably go to France this year. Nobody's traveling, but you can go with, thanks to Carol Bumpus, Carol with an E, look it up, Carol Bumpus, you can go to France, and you will be in France, and then you'll get the recipe book, and you'll start cooking like you were in France, and you will be a happy person in this pandemic time. You will forget about the pandemic, and your mind will go. And make sure that you buy a bottle of wine from each of those areas.
Yes.
You're going to have a heck of a it'll take, like, if the pandemic's another month or so, you won't mind, because you get a bottle of wine from the Loire, get some champagne, I won't even start on my the time that we did champagne.
No.
Oh, I can't do that one. Anyway, Carol, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a joy. The books are a joy. The story is fascinating, fascinating story. And this is what I've talked to people about. Love to write, and you will find this joy that Carol has found. Right?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. And I'll have you back, okay?
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the books. Well, all everything. We have to have. I think I'll give you an hour. How about that?
Okay.
I'll have you back for an hour.
All right.
I have enough to talk to you about.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye bye now.
Okay.
Oh, she's nice. She's nice. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Just looking at the pictures on her website. Oh, my God. I get tears in my eyes thinking of those days. Those were wonderful. And I'm so sorry that all of you can't go to France this summer. But nobody's going to France. Nobody's going anywhere. But you can, really, with these books. They are wonderful books. Beautifully written. I mean, they just flow. It's one story after another. As a matter of fact, you read them, and then you want to go back and read another little bit. And of course, so many of us have family who were in World War II, World War I even. And the stories are in here. And they will really, really touch your heart and make you think. And as I said, the recipes are wonderful. And you must have wine during these books. I think I'm going to start at these books again. I'm going to start book one. I'm going to get myself a bottle of champagne maybe and then start book one and just work my way gradually. If you're drinking the champagne, you are might be going gradual. But it is really, really a wonderful treat for yourself to read Carol Bumpus's book and check them out. Check them out. I think that they'll be fun. Okay. Well, this has been another day. And I want to say to everyone, every program, Glenn Erickson, who's a great supporter of Joy on Paper, talks about donating to the Red Cross. And I want to thank Glenn Erickson for being so wonderful to Joy on Paper. And I want to just tell you that he's right. Donate to Red Cross for what's happened over there in Louisiana. I've been in the studio, so I don't know everything, but I'm sure it was pretty bad. Make sure that you take a moment. And then if you don't have windows, good windows yet in your house, then contact Morgan Exteriors. They're all over the Bay Area, and you will sleep well. They are so wonderful that I almost don't hear anything outside. It is just beautiful. And the wind does not rattle my windows anymore like it did for years and years. So that's something I want to tell you about because it really will make you happy. Now, just remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear your words spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps something on the Hallmark Channel. Like I had Sandra Broughton here the other day, and everything was, you know, and one day it's going to be Carol J. Perry. By the way, her new book just came out on Tuesday. Carol J. Perry. Check it out. She would be on the end cap on Barnes & Noble if they had end caps right now. But check it out. Carol J. Perry. And, wow, she's always got her another Witch City mystery, and you will enjoy it. And what else? I wanted to say something else. I can't remember. Oh, be careful out there. I saw another incident where somebody was crabby with somebody about not wearing the mask in the parking lot, and just calm down, everybody. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed because he's so nice to me, and he sprayed me with Clorox number 5. I'm going to smell like Clorox number 5 all day for the rest of the day. But I do appreciate how he does everything here. And thank you. And he saluted me. And I'm saluting him because I wish I had been a general. I would have liked to be a general. Everybody, have a great weekend. Be careful out there. Bye-bye now.